Well, thanks to those who make the show possible and who are definitely not air-brained, Gary Niederhoff, Barbara Vance, and our intern, Aaron Ross.
Also, thanks to financial support from Rena Shulsky-David and Sammy David. Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute, where scientists study the origin and nature of life. And a big thanks also to our listeners.
Your ears have been attuned to Winging It. And if you crave more Big Picture Science, you can find it on our archive at bigpicturescience.org.
If you're a podcast listener, but you prefer listening to over-the-air radio because, after all, like planes, it's airborne, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station is not on that list, well, consider letting them know you like the show. Oh, and if you listen using iTunes, we invite you to leave a review about Big Picture Science on our iTunes page.
And to reach us directly with your comments, throw in some faint praise and email it all to bigpicturescience@seti.org.
Going home certainly hasn't gotten any better. Maybe I'll listen to the radio. Hey, what's this button? Just says air. Well, it's kind of hot in here. Whoa! That premium package upgrade that I bought for this car sure has some surprising benefits. So long, you earthbound suckers. Hope there's food on this flight.
And you too can be dancing with Daddy G every Tuesday afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Malt Shop, right here on WHFR.FM. The jukebox will be spinning the platters from the 50s and the 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and join me, Daddy G, at the Malt Shop on Tuesdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Be there. Or be square.
This is
Please don't say no word.
This is WHFR Dearborn.
Love me.
Okay, that is probably the mellowest beginning to Impact that you have ever heard. So welcome to Impact, the show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. The views and opinions expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn. Hi, I'm your host, Lynn, and today we're discussing, in general, just working with challenged kids. And we'll learn what that means, because that's a pretty broad title. And our special guest today is Kevin R. Daniels, a singer-songwriter. And he's going to talk about his life story. He's going to talk about working with the kids. And that's the guy you just heard on that cut. And sounds pretty good, huh? You thought it was James Taylor, I betcha. Okay. Kevin, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank Welcome you for having Impact. Me. Thank you.
This is going to be exciting.
Yeah, okay. I'm looking forward to it.
Tell us, to get started, let's start with the song. Tell us about what we just heard, the inspiration for it, etc.
Actually, that song, the first line, "Please don't say no words, but say that you love me," I was looking down into my brand new daughter's face, and she was in a little seat wrapped up, and I thought, she can look at me and tell me that she loves me, and it doesn't have to be verbal. And then the song kind of morphed into, it kind of changed directions, but I guess the original idea come from looking down at my daughter and nonverbal communication, wow. Kind of.
And how old is she now?
She's 27.
Wow.
Yeah.
Definitely timeless. Definitely a timeless piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's strange because I'm 22.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah. Oh, man, that's absolutely beautiful. Tell us your life story a little bit. Tell us how got here, starting out with not the guitar. You started out with drums. And how that whole thing came about.
Actually, I started out with mandolin. I come from a bluegrass and gospel family. My family is from Middlesboro, Kentucky, and Harrogate, Tennessee, right at the line. And so I was raised on gospel and bluegrass and country. And I wasn't asked if I wanted to play mandolin. My dad handed me one day and said, "You're going to learn this." And I had my sights set on drums. And I was the first one in the Daniels family to play drums. And my mom and dad, they acted like they didn't mind, but they had a look of horror in their face. But they let me have some drums. And I went on to do some touring and worked with some good groups, opened for some great groups, Skid Row, Paul Revere and the Raiders, Mitch Ryder. The same way with my guitar playing and singing, I've opened for quite a few people. And but drumming to me, as we were talking about before, is kind of, I don't ever say that I made a transition from the drums to guitar. It's kind of, music is kind of all the same thing to me. It's just that I was writing a lot of music, and the front man in a band is the one that gets all the accolades, and that accolades isn't what I was looking for. I just wanted to be recognized for my writing. So on our band breaks, I wouldn't even sit on the stage. I would sit on the corner of the stage and pull a mic down, get an old acoustic guitar, and play Hank Williams and Prince and anything else. And I mean, I was real like fledgling on the guitar at that time. Well, I was working with the band called the Hunter Brooks Band, and people started asking for those songs as well as what are rock and roll. And Hunter, the leader of the band, said, "This isn't the Kevin Daniels show here." And when he said that, that was kind of an epiphany, aha moment. And I give my 2-week notice right at that point.
Because it could have been.
Yeah, and I, for that next 2 weeks, I mean, I was obligated, and I didn't want to leave him in a position, but till this day, he's still not too happy with me, and that was well over 20 years ago, and it's turned out quite well, and I do all my own drum work on my studio stuff, and I've got a son that's 24 that is a monster on the drums. I would never let him know that he's better than I am. Never. I hope that, he'll get a kick out of this when he hears this, but he is very talented. He's also a songwriter, singer, and plays guitar, and he kind of transitioned out front too. And please, I want to say and emphasize again, it's not about, ooh, look at these guys out front, or they're the coolest, or it's nothing about that. I just felt like I had more to say mm-hmm. out in front mm-hmm. than back behind. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I like an artist in any other medium.
Yeah.
You know, like a painter. Or
yeah, I just had more to say than what I was being allowed to say.
Right. Now, of all the people that you opened for, and you mentioned names that pretty much everybody does know, but of all the people that you've opened for, who is your favorite?
I have to say, and I believe Chris was with me, Mitch Ryder
okay.
was fun.
Okay.
And what happened with that is, everything that you mentioned to me, it has a story. I mean, Chris himself, he knows if he asks me a question, it's going to take 20 minutes for me to answer it. And everything has a story with me.
Sure.
And many, many years ago, when I was with Hunter Brooks playing drums, we were at the old, I forget the name of the place. It's down by Brownstown. And it was a Free Spirits Bar. And we would open for Mitch down there every year. Well, his drummer was sick in the back of a car laying down. And I remember Mitch, I could hear him from the side of the stage. He said, "What about the young man from the previous band that got a sound check?" So all of a sudden, I got a sound check with Mitch Ryder. So I'm out here playing Devil with a Blue Dress.
Right.
And I was a young man. It was thrilling.
Wow.
Well, when I got talking to Mitch, all of these years later, when I'm playing guitar, I told him about that. He remembered that. He
wow.
remembered me. Mitch Ryder wow. remembered me.
You made a very positive impression then.
And it was really, I mean, I remember really pouring it on to Chris here, you know. Oh my God, he remembers. Chris probably thought I was crazy. I said, he actually remembers that, you know. And that was important to me,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Very important.
Wow. Anybody give you a real hard time other than complaining about your talent?
A hard time? Never. The only thing, sometimes you don't want to meet your heroes because they'll let you down. They're,
sure.
They're
yeah.
not who
yeah.
you think they are. And
yeah.
the one that really kind of bummed me out was Jeff Daniels. And this was at the mm-hmm. Meyer Theater at Monroe County Community College. And he was driving his own car loaded with guitars, and behind him was his family in a big extension van. And somebody had called the Meyer Theater and made some type of security threat or something.
Okay.
And he said that he wanted security to lead him in and lead him out, and
sure.
he was meeting no one and signing nothing. And here I was the opening act, and I still couldn't get a chance to talk to him. And I had a Christmas gift for him and everything, and the CD. My. The gift was gone, but I never got a chance to talk with him. But I've had some very positive experiences. The Meyer Theater and Tom Ryder has really been, he's really been an asset mm-hmm. to my playing out there and working with different groups. And again, with the intermediate school, with mentally challenged kids, we always work at the Meyer Theater, along with Kelly Laginus, who has a dance troupe that I do a lot of live music for, which is very cool to play over the rainbow while professional dancers are swirling around you. It's very cool.
Yeah.
So I've had some very, mine is a very long, detailed story. I've had some very positive, far out things that have happened. That I've enjoyed very much.
Okay.
I've been very fortunate.
So we've moved from the mandolin to the drums, but you're not sitting here with drums. Audience can't quite see that, but there's a guitar. Tell us how the guitar came about.
Well, the guitar came about, this is funny, and I don't even think Chris knows this, but the person who bought me my first guitar was my ex-wife. And, that's funny because I always call this guitar, which is 53 years old, my first wife. That's probably why I have an ex-wife. But of all people, my ex-wife bought me an old beater guitar, and my father showed me one chord. And because see, my whole life, well, my dad, first off, he just passed away September 1st of 15, and I speak of him still like he's here. I'll never speak of him and my mother as past tense. And my dad was the best country singer that ever walked the face of the earth, hands down.
Okay.
Hands down. And I used to give all of the credit to my father because he was the one that mechanically introduced the instruments. But the type of music I write and the things that I listen to still, it just dawned on me in the last couple years, and my mother's been gone since 04, that it was the records that my mother played on the stereo. I would sit in the middle of the living room floor with my G.I. Joes or my Batman, and she would be playing Ronnie Millsap and all of these different albums. And when I learned three chords on the guitar, you know, like G, C, and D, all of a sudden I knew 200 songs, and I had no idea how. Because those songs were just imprinted, and I can still play entire albums that my mother used to play. And I always give all the credit to my father, but I wish that I could speak to my mom again just for a moment, just to let her know, you know. And well, she always wanted me to be a doctor or a lawyer or something of the sort, and me and my brother, I have two older brothers, and my one brother, Steve, who is on my album that you heard one of the songs from, and he's a very accomplished musician. He's done everything that I still aspire to do. He's toured and traveled all across the United States, and he's worked the Grand Ole Opry just, I think, like over 10 times, the Ryman Auditorium, and the whole bluegrass circuit. And my oldest brother is an archer and a professional hunter, and he used to play music. So I grew up in a family where music was playing constantly. Hee-haw in my family was a requirement. My dad would come and make us stop what we were doing and come out here, and he'd be like, "Now, honey, watch how he holds that guitar. Look at his left hand. Now see how that's in tandem with his right." I mean, I was 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
"Now watch how he does that. You can't do this unless, you know." Mm-hmm. And looking back on it, I can remember being like 10 years old and my dad having to fight with the owners of Eagles clubs because I was in a bar after 9 and I was 10 and a half, but I was the drummer for the band. And my dad would have to argue with the owners that we can't make him leave. He's our drummer. I was so young that my mom would pack me G.I. Joes with my drums so I'd have something to do on my band breaks. That's how young I was mm-hmm. playing with my father. So once again, I kind of got a course on there, but the guitar come about, it was inevitable. I started toying around with writing songs, and for a very long time before I played guitar. And a lot of people think poetry is like a prelude to songwriting, or they brought me poetry and said, can you turn it into a song? I think it's a whole different beast, poetry, than songwriting. And as I was telling Chris here on the way here, I think the true art of songwriting is to take four paragraphs and make people understand those four paragraphs in one or two sentences. Mm-hmm. And I just get a kick out of the fact that I'm going to be 52 and these people still come to see me. They come to hear my thoughts. And that is so far out to me. That is what keeps me going. I mean, I just think it's like pulling the thorn from the lion's foot. I'm indebted to the people that love what I do and come and listen.
Did your dad play an instrument? You said he sang. You said he was the best singer.
Yeah, he played guitar, and he could play bass, and a little bit of banjo, a little bit of mandolin, a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. If it had strings, you could hand it to my father, and within a few minutes, he would like pick a little tune on it. And we used to get a real kick out of that, mm-hmm. you know.
I had a lot of music around the house growing up also, but nobody played anything. This was strictly coming from the radio. Mm-hmm. And from my dad, I guess I inherited the ability or lack of ability to work without a radio. I can't work without a radio, especially if I'm cooking. Have to have something going on. So, I appreciate that too. My mom taught me the blues. My dad taught me jazz. So
Nice. Now, see, when I finish a gig, which Chris has been with me. I keep mentioning my friend Chris sitting next to me mm-hmm. here. When I get in the car after a gig, the radio is off. I like silence.
Yeah.
And I really don't have like a big CD collection. My music is what I work on, and I have a couple favorites that I'll get stuck on and be obsessed with for months, then I'll move on to something else. But as far as like having a big collection and always having music playing, that's not really who I am. Mm-hmm. I work on music to create it. So mm-hmm. yeah.
When did you write your first song?
Well, I had me this girlfriend, and Lord, that's a long time ago. Only girlfriend I ever had. Yeah. But that was a long time ago, and I cannot even begin to put a date on it. But it was a Break My Heart song, and I did write a rock and roll song long before that, my first garage band. But that was still kind of about this girl that I was crazy about at the times. I mean, it's real easy to crank out those songs. I actually sometimes go out and look for a new girlfriend just for him to break up with me so I'll have write more materials. I tell people when I break up with somebody, no, I just need a new record. So, you know, so it kind of gets me out of that conversation.
There you go.
Yeah.
How about a little more music, and then we'll talk about some other things.
Sure.
You want to do live or more from the CD, or you tell me?
You tell me.
Well, I don't know what's on the CD. You do.
There's all kinds of good stuff on the CD.
Okay, where to?
Why don't I play a live one?
Okay, that works too.
Now, songwriters, we always want to explain. And that rock and roll band I had mentioned previously, the Hunter Brooks Band, that found me a lot of times with the wrong people and the wrong places. My mother used to say, nothing good happens after midnight. And but this is kind of a song about the wrong women, the wrong people, the wrong places, and kind of a redemption song, I guess, in a way. So it's called Neon Night.
Heartache.
Yeah. And I used to, one of my favorite things to do was, I would drive out to my mom and dad's house right when I knew she was cooking supper. Not only because she was a great cook, but I knew that that was a time I could catch her still enough to where I would sit on the kitchen table with my feet in a chair and I'd play her all the new ideas I was working on. And I remember that particular song when I was talking about the neon nights are bound to bruise me. She said, honey, no one wants to hear about that part of your life. And I got the biggest kick out of that, because any time that it shifted to anything, not negative, or anything revealing, rather, You know, my mom, you know, she wanted me to write about unicorns and butterflies and things of the sort like that. But I really took her critiques to heart, you know. Think of her quite a bit during my writing, you know.
Sure.
She, sometimes the thought of her even makes me change a word or two. And she's been gone quite a while, so.
Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah.
I like to think that.
Yeah, I think she's still watching.
Yeah.
Making sure everything's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Okay, so you had a, I guess, life-changing situation. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, my accident.
Mm-hmm.
In 97, I was on a break from a gig, and I had a half hour, and this gentleman that I went to school with since kindergarten asked me if him and his girlfriend could catch a ride from me, and they'd come back up and watch the rest of my show. And I said, well, I have about 20 minutes. I can just drop you real quick and come back. Well, long story short, they started arguing. He struck her. I tried to reach over to stop him, and he punched me at 62 miles an hour. Broke my right eye socket with that punch. We hit the very corner of the foundation of a building. The engine come through my dashboard. My gear shifter went through my right femur. And I ended up with, I really honestly don't have a full count of how many bones I broke. 2 vertebrae in my lower back, 2 in my neck, crushed my left hand. Broke toes on my left foot and my right foot, my right femur in 4 spots, my pelvis in 2 spots. It was, I remember thinking to myself, this time you're probably hurt. Why I was still a little, because it, you know the cartoons, how you see the birdies flying around?
Yes,
that's
yes.
really what happened.
Yeah.
I felt like God swatted me with a tennis racket. It was, I just never experienced anything like it. And the next thing I know, this guy gets out, drags his girlfriend out of the car. They run off to leave me. And I can remember my head out of my car on the ground, looking through tall blades of grass, with a street light watching snowfall, and I watched them get smaller and smaller as they went away. And a gentleman and his wife were standing over me, and that guy took off his jacket and his shirt and put around me and called 911, and they life-flighted me to MCO. And a few days later, I woke up, and it took me about 3 years to learn to walk again, and I still have a difficult gait, I guess, for lack of a better way to explain it. But definitely life-changing. Mm-hmm. It changed everything.
Mm-hmm. And I will tell the listening audience that you can't see it. You walk unaided. You're playing incredible music.
Well, thank
you. Mentioned that you had a situation with your hand.
Yes.
And you appear to be fully healed. You look factory issued.
Yeah. Well, what I do is like Britney Spears. I'm actually just moving my lips.
Oh,
this is pre-recorded.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that story. It must be painful every time you think about it, too.
The thing is... every time that I pull up to a stop sign or a four-way stop, every time, whether I'm in a car with somebody and talking or something, I always envision that car that's coming plowing right through me.
Sure.
So I relive that accident at least at one point every day of my life.
Sure.
You know? And the strange thing was, about 10 seconds after the impact, and my car finally stopped, my airbag blew up.
Mm-hmm.
and the car was already wrecked. So that was like another punch in the mouth, you know, on top of what was going on. I think that hurt as bad as the wreck. Those things
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Chemical burns from it. Ooh. And I mean, it really swatted me.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Those things are, and the plastic flying, it is quite dangerous.
Wow.
But I've had 4 hip surgeries and a corrective, and I still have to have my right hip totally replaced, and then I should be good for the rest of my life.
Wow.
So.
Mm-hmm. What about your 2 friends? In air quotes.
Till this day, I'm shocked. I guess the next day, well, they found him that night, put him in jail overnight. The next day, he beat that girl up so bad, he put her in a coma.
Oh, my God.
Knocked her teeth out. So he ended up going away for a while. And me and Chris heard just a few years ago, he overdosed on heroin and laid down and pleasantly went to sleep and never woke up.
Wow. Sorry.
Yeah. Thank you.
And we didn't talk about that beforehand, so I hope I didn't put you in a bad place.
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all. It's behind me.
Okay. Wow. We need some music at this point.
Far out. I'm ready. Well, this song here is kind of fitting. I've always had a soft spot for children. I think they're open books. And even if you're walking down the street with a little one in tow, and somebody comes towards you, that child will either hang on to your leg and get close to you, or somewhat approach that person. They're like little meters. We don't give them enough credit. Children are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got working with the ISD, and Chris here has been with me on a million of those, like we talked about last night, the first day I worked with them, I cried and felt so sorry for them and those poor kids. And what I learned real quick is it's me that has the hang-ups. It's my neighbors that have the hang-ups. It's us that have exes and overdue bills. And these children are just happy to be there. And as we talked about, they taught me to live in the moment. And I was unaware that you could do that. I was unaware that what living in the moment, I mean, it's even helped my writing. It's helped everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I mean, I could go on till this time tomorrow about my experience with just the children that I've had the privilege of working with.
Right. Let's hear the song, and then we'll talk about the kids.
All right. This is called Keep It Together. I said, we've got to keep it together, 'cause it's turning you and me against each other. And I said, we've got give the little brother there's too much suffering going on. And I said we've got to save the little children, 'cause they don't understand all the love that the world's not giving. Said we've got to keep it together, much suffering going on. And I'm not changing, and you're not changing, and the world's not changing. No, 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 no. I said we've got
so much.
Thank
Wonderful,
you.
Beautiful. Okay, let's talk about some of those kids.
Okay.
As a an intro, I guess, if people don't know, April is National Autism Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been working with some of these special kids.
Yes.
And I think I was well into adulthood before I even encountered somebody who was diagnosed with autism.
Yeah.
And I've worked with a few people, and it's amazing. It's
yes.
amazing.
Yes.
I'll stop. This isn't my story. This is yours.
No. Go ahead. The one thing that is shocking to me is the flat-out brilliance of some of these children. I mean, if you want to actually see the right side of their brain click on like a light switch, put a bell or a shaker or something musical in their hand, and you have to experience it. I mean, some of these children that I worked with affected me. They affected me in such a way that, I mean, it made me ashamed for the way that I was living and the beauty that I wasn't seeing. And some of these children, I just, like I was saying last night, for me not to have words, I have words for everything. And it's hard for me to explain how they've touched me.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I go to the intermediate school, they meet me at the door, they argue over who's gonna try to carry my guitar. They all have a story that I have to hear, and they all need a hug, and they all need the exact same amount of time and attention from me. So the first half hour that I'm here to work on these programs, it's hearing these stories, and Kevin, where you been, and you wouldn't believe this, and I learned this, and I mean, Chris has witnessed this, and some of these children, the strength that they have, and the perseverance that they have, it's
Do you have any stories to share? Specific?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, a friend of mine, I cannot remember his name. Angie is not gonna believe that I can't. Well, Angie Snell, first off, is she works in music therapy. She is the most selfless human being I've ever met in my life. Her entire life are these children. And she introduced me to a couple of young men, and I'm trying my best to remember this one little guy's name. but he knew every word to every song on my CD, and he didn't have it but a day or so.
Wow.
That was the first thing that was shocking to me. That really made me start paying attention to what was happening around. And then I had another friend, Josh Adair, that every year, he would sit next to me and I would play guitar and we would sing You've Got a Friend. And pretty soon, people that would come to the spring show and the fall show started asking, why aren't they doing that? And I hoped in the future, you know, be working with those children again. I took a hiatus when my dad passed away, and I hope to get back with Angie, and Angie is in remission from cancer. We just were texting last night how this whole story come about was just so strange. I was texting with Angie about her and her situation, and heard from my friend Tony about a radio spot. So I called Chris, and Chris just happened to be the guy that was with me at all these ISD shows. And then Lynn, yourself, you called me, and then you told me what the show was about, and it just was mind-blowing how it all come together, you know?
Things always happen for a reason, and the older I get, the more I get that. It took me a while to get there. And I think this may be the right time, because we keep talking about this, Chris.
Yes.
I think it's time maybe we introduce this guy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'll let you do that, Kevin.
Well, this is a good friend of mine, and I've known him a long time, and but he's not here, so I'm going to introduce Chris. No. But this is my buddy, Chris Bartolotta, and he's been with me, and he's been my main guy. He helps me with my equipment. He critiques my music. He's just a good guy to have around, and he's just a general help to everybody that's around.
Thank you for that, Chris.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And I understand you have a story to share.
You know what? I just got great joy and satisfaction of going out there and seeing the kids' expressions and the smile on their faces, you know? Like Kevin was saying, when they would pick up a drum, a cymbal, or triangle, it was magic watching them interact with each other and the joy of music. And it was just really heart-touching, you know, to experience that. And I don't know, it was just a wonderful program that Angie had put on out there, and it was an honor to be part of it. So I'm just really thankful to be part of it.
Well, it's scientific studies have proven that music touches a certain part of the brain and brings out different things within people who are, I guess, let's just say restricted in some way. It happens with kids with autism. It happens with Alzheimer patients. And music therapy is a big part of that if you want to get that person to kind of come to the forefront, wake up different parts of the brain that you can't by yelling at them.
Exactly.
Or you can't by just throwing a book at them. And I don't mean that way. But
yeah.
And I don't want to get off topic, but when you hear about all the cuts to art programs and music programs, it makes you crazy because so myopic. There's so much more to it than just somebody hitting the triangle. As you said, it's magic.
It's therapeutic, yep. It's a shame that they're making all them cuts in the art programs and the music programs in the school district. And it's just very heart-touching, you know, to be a part of that. And like Kevin was saying, you see these kids, you know, live their lives and they just have so much joy and have so much to offer the world, you know, when they're making the best out of the situation that they were dealt with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And here I look at myself and it's just like, mm-hmm, I'm not living up to the expectations that I've been blessed with, you know. Mm-hmm. So it just makes you look at yourself a little more and just appreciate life and
absolutely,
you know, bless your hearts.
Yeah.
You know.
Do the kids ever, you mentioned one young man who sang with you.
Mm-hmm.
Do the kids in general sing with you, or is it strictly the orff instruments or what have you?
Well, I've worked on guitar with the Bell Choir quite a bit.
Oh, okay.
And Angie, her and I, our relationship, she knows that I'm just like her number one utility guy. If she needs me to blow a tuba, I'm going to blow a tuba at this part of the song. So she is thankful to have me around, and she just puts me wherever she needs me. And I just follow her lead, and she's always right. She's amazing.
So these are autistic kids playing the handbells?
A lot of them are dual diagnoses, like we talked about.
Right.
Some have several different issues happening.
Okay.
And but she splits them up into certain groups. And one thing, not to get off topic, but one thing that is heartbreaking to me, every year that I come back, I don't think about this, but certain ones have graduated and they're gone. And
which is a good thing.
Which is a good thing, but here I'm looking forward to them, and here's these new faces looking at me like, who's this guy?
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking back at them.
Right.
And it's kind of bittersweet. It's great that they're graduating, but you grow to love these children.
Absolutely.
And a thinking person, as soon as you get into this, even the first layer of it, if you're a thinking person, like Chris said, it makes you re-examine your life automatically. Somebody would have to not pay attention at all, not to pick something up from this experience. I don't understand. And then you talk about cutting the art and the music programs and things like that, and they don't realize that these, you know, even in the Monroe public schools and the public schools, these children are going to run our country one day.
Yes.
And I mean the arts, I think that's as vital as math or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a shaping.
Well, music and math, I mean, they're neck and neck.
Absolutely.
One is the other.
Yeah. Yeah, my son is a substitute math teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
This is the drummer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also, my daughter, she is a Christian singer, songwriter. And she's very talented, and she is a teacher also, and has worked with me, and so is Evan, my son, several times, and Angie and them are very close, and Chris knows my children, and we've all worked out there, and I guess to sum it all up, and even though we've used this word many times today, to sum it all up, it's just been a life-changing experience.
Sure.
That even if I never step foot through those doors again, it has changed who I am and how I look at the world, and mainly, thank God, how I look at myself.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to share one of the songs that is a favorite of the kids when you go out to visit them?
Well, we play everything from B.I.N.G.O. they absolutely love Achy Breaky Heart. Why? I don't know. But they do. But one favorite is You've Got a Friend.
Okay.
That me and Josh Adair do. That's a song that Chris was talking about with my buddy Josh.
Yeah.
and you know wherever I am, and I come on to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, the fall, now all you have to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You got a friend. When the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, that north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and calm me my now. Now soon I'll be knocking upon your door.
I can just see your friend Josh with you.
Yeah. I miss him.
Oh my gosh. The hour went by so fast. We just have a couple minutes left, and we have Daddy G coming in. He's on deck for the malt shop. He'll be on in just a second here. But I can't thank you guys enough for coming in and sharing the stories. Any parting words? And then there's one other question I have for you.
Any parting words? Mm-hmm. Any parting words, Chris?
No, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to be here. It was really interesting, and I appreciated the chance to get out and meet you. And
thank you.
You know, it's a quick hour, so thanks.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And remember, too, that if you didn't hear the entire broadcast, that the show is available by podcast. Just go to the WHFR website, which is www.whfr.fm. Look for Tuesday Talk. Great big button, you can't miss it, and just select the date. Today is 4/11. How about that? April,
yeah.
Which is Autism Awareness Month. Wanted to find out with regards to the CD, how can people get hold of that if they would like to get hold of one? What's the best way to do that?
The best way to do that, actually, at the moment, is my telephone number.
Okay. Are you willing to...
Absolutely.
Okay. So you can call Kevin at?
It's right on my CD. It is 734-497-7820.
Okay. One more time?
734-497-7820. And I want to tell you, I enjoyed our conversation last night.
Definitely.
Just as much as I did today, and thank you so much, and I would love to come back, and you have to have Angie come in to finish the story.
Okay, right. And some of these kids must be absolutely amazing. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Not some of them, all of them.
All
of absolutely
them.
Amazing.
They're great, all
right.
Of them.
Okay, and let me do this little legal thing I need to do, and then do you want to take us out with some music, or should I put on another cut from the CD to take us out?
Put on number 3.
All right, we can do that too. Obviously, I can't talk and do this at the same time, so. Okay. Kevin and Chris, thank you so much for being here today with Impact. And thank you all for listening to Impact, the show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. The views and opinions expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. And this is WHFR Dearborn. And what's the name of this cut, Kevin?
This is called Holding You.
Okay. All righty. Holding You, Kevin Daniels, Kevin R. Daniels.
Kevin R. Daniels.
Kevin R. Daniels. And this is Impact, WHFR Dearborn.
Keeps me running.